Welcome to Couch Sessions by YWAM Heidebeek. On this podcast, we sit down with YWAMers to have interesting and challenging conversations on their journey with Holy Spirit and how they live their day-to-day lives with God. So come, join us. This episode is hosted by Marita Winkler.
I'm here today with Jodi. Welcome, Jodi. Thanks for joining us today. Jodi is married and has two beautiful kids and one more on the way. And you joined YWAM in 2012. You did a discipleship training school. And since then, you're on staff at Heidebeek, currently part of the leadership team of our discipleship training center. And you've met many, many DTSs, worked in lots of different teams. And right in the beginning, I'd be super curious to hear, why did you actually join YWAM?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Because when I was on primary school, I had a friend and she had an aunt who was missionary in Uganda. And I always found it very interesting. Like, we have this national day in the Netherlands. It's King's Day. And there we would sell things for the street children in Uganda and we would send it to her aunt. And then when I was little, I would always say, when I'm grown up, I want to be a missionary. So when I grew up a bit further, I also wanted to become different things like a teacher or a doctor or all these things. But I really believe God planted a seed for missions. So when I was around 15, I did a short missions trip in the summer. That's also where I met my husband. And there my passion for missions started to grow again. So when we got married, we thought like how to take our first step. And we wanted to do something to just taste missions. And then we ended up at YWAM because with a discipleship training school, you do first like 3 months of lecture phase where you get some input and then you go on a missions trip where you can experience a bit of what mission is about. So when we did that school, our passion for mission started to grow, and that's how we ended up here.
And you are part of the discipleship training centers for quite some years. How many years exactly?
This summer it will be 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what excites you about DTS that you're in it for 10 years already?
Well, the thing that I like most is that you see students coming in and together you go on a journey of getting to know God better and like reaching out. And students, when they leave, they are never the same. They always grew in a certain area, like in reaching out or in hearing God's voice or in preaching or in their identity in Christ. And it's just such an honor to be part of their process. You can just walk along with them for a few months and then in those few months see what God is doing in their life. You can just be part of that, and then seeing them going out grown, they learned so much and then they are ready to take the next step. And it's just beautiful to be part of that and to see what God did in their lives.
That's great.
Yeah.
And so you're still leading DTSs, actually, but you're also leading the Discipleship Training Center, which means you lead the staff in the DTS as well. So what is different in that than leading a DTS and training the staff for the DTS?
Well, the nice thing is with the staff, they often were first students in the DTS, so you get to know them as students, you see them grow. And then on a certain moment, like some of them decide like, hey, I want to become part of the discipleship training school and also work with the DTSs. And then it's just nice that you can even continue the walk you started during the DTS while they are coming here, working here. So to train them, to teach them how to disciple. Of course, they learn about discipleship during the DTS when they are students. But when they come back, you can even train them further in like how to walk along with the students. And the growing process doesn't stop. Like, it's not like, oh yeah, they did the DTS, now they are there. But they continue to grow in their identity, in their leadership, in their discipleship, in hearing God's voice. So actually the same there. You are part of like what God is doing in their lives. And it's an honor as well to walk along with them in that process. And because you are working longer together, you have the opportunity to build friendships within the team that you are working in.
So you worked in a lot of different teams, in DTS staff teams, in outreach teams, the 3 months when you go with students and staff in a team together to another nation. We just talked about our discipleship training center. You work in a team. What's the most beautiful thing about working in teams and what's the most challenging?
Well, the most beautiful thing of working in teams, I find that you can do things together, that you don't have to make all decisions by yourself, but you can just do it together, find solutions together, pray together, seek God together. What is He saying about, for example, the theme of the school, like where should we focus on? Or if there's a student that is a bit challenging, or like where we think like, oh, they can use an extra challenge, like evangelism, like how can we challenge the students? How can we let them grow even further? But you don't have to think about it all by yourself. You can talk about it together. You can pray about it together, hear God together. So the togetherness I like a lot, but also because you're working very intensely together, you also get to know each other better. So that's also what I find beautiful, to just get to know your team better. What are their qualities? What are their talents? And to see how you can set them free in their qualities and talents. For example, in the last school, we had someone who really had a heart for worship, and now they set up like a DTS track focused on worship, because that's where their talents are, worshiping God and taking others along in that. So yeah, that's what I like of working in teams, like seeing people flourish in their qualities, in their talents. The challenging thing is also, because you work with people, people are different, there needs to be good communication, and sometimes that's like challenging because you forget to communicate, or you want to push through your own opinion, or yeah, you have to be patient sometimes with each other. So also working in teams takes some effort. It's not like, oh, it just goes by itself or so. You really need to put time in it, put effort in it to make a team work. So you need to communicate well. Yeah, and that is sometimes challenging if you like misunderstand each other, or if you want to do it your own way, but other people think differently about it, then that can be challenging. Yeah.
And indeed, you just already mentioned it takes effort to be in a team and to experience the beauty you described. And I think that everyone desires to be in well-functioning teams. And if a team functions well, it can be such a beautiful thing. But if it doesn't function well, it also can be really terrible. So what would you say is important that a team functions well? You mentioned already some things, but maybe you can go a bit deeper in it. What aspects?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to think of one of the teams I worked with. It was a DTS outreach team we took to Indonesia. And there were a lot of different kind of people in that team, which made it sometimes challenging for us and for them to work together. So there was not really a unity in the team. They were great in doing ministry, then they could like switch their button and like go for it completely. But in our free time, like there were not really relationships, like people were annoyed by each other, not investing in each other. And then on a certain moment, we went to a new location. We drove quite long, like 12 hours or so. And then we arrived there and everyone got really sick. And then we were with 10 or 11 people, and like 8 got really sick, and there were 3 like healthy people. But the ones that were sick were so sick that they couldn't even go to the toilet by themselves. So they needed the help of the other people. So they needed to become vulnerable, ask for help. The others needed to step in to help. And after that, people saw like, oh, actually, we do need each other. We cannot just do things by ourselves and just focus on our own needs. So one of the most important things, I think, is to be vulnerable. Like, what do you need? To open up, yeah, to share with each other your heart, but also to recognize that you need each other, that you cannot do everything by yourself. Yeah, and also to choose for relationships. I think relationships in a team are important, even though it's maybe you are not best friends, but just having relationships with each other, wanting to hear from one another, wanting to see each other, really helps to build a team.
So I hear you saying it's a lot actually about the attitude a person has, and being open for, yeah, really getting to know others and being open for help and doing things together.
Yeah.
And so I know you've started up many teams because you've led many DTSs, and then often it is in the DTS and the discipleship training school that a new staff team comes together just for that school. So what do you do? How do you plan? And what is your way of making people becoming a team?
Well, we do different things, but often we start with a personal, like getting to know each other personally better. So when we start with a DTS team, when we start with a staff training, one of the first things that we often do is sharing testimonies. So sharing your life story with each other, just to hear where is the other person coming from, what's their background. And it also helps you a bit, like, oh, why do they respond the way they respond? Because if you know their background, if you know where they're coming from, yeah, that helps a lot also in your communication in the team. But also we do team building, just some games you do together where you afterwards evaluate, like, hey, what went well? Who took the leadership? Who was the one with the IDs? To just find out, like, hey, what are the qualities of the people in the team? But also sometimes just doing something fun together, because you create a moment of making memories together. So it can be something small, like eating an ice cream or having dinner together or going somewhere like with a boat or so. But just doing something together where you create a memory together. That also helps, I believe, to create a team. Within a team, I think there are different people. Like, some people love to work and get things done. Other people love to do fun things together and do more like team building kind of things. And other people really love to worship, intercede, seek God together. And if there's a balance with all these different kind of things, that's, I believe, helpful for everyone in the team. Because you cannot only do fun things, because then things get not done. But you can also not only sit and pray but never do something. Like, I believe God is in everything, also when you do something fun. But there should be a balance in these things, because then you honor the people that are wanting to get things done, but also the people that want to, like, relate and do fun things together. So just have all these different kind of aspects.
And would you say that depends if people are in the team who like doing those things, or you, because you just mentioned fun, work, and seeking God together. Are these aspects which are important for every team and they should be represented in every team, or only if there are people who really like it?
No, I think it's good to have those things in every team, especially the seeking God, even though if you have not, like, people that are like natural intercessors, like, I think it's still important to intercede for the school or to ask God and ask him, like, what are your ways for this school? And also with fun things, like, of course, there are different ways of fun. So you can discuss that in your team, like, hey, what helps you to just be in a relaxed atmosphere together and relate to each other? So for the one that will be eating an ice cream, but for another, it's playing a game. For another, it's just going on a walk together. So there are different ways you can do it. But in a way, I believe it can be important for every team to do these different things.
Yeah. So you described now a bit the starting up phase of a team, and that sounds really good. I'm like, oh yeah, things are going great. And often it also goes great in the beginning, sometimes also not. But let's say it goes great, and then time continues, you work together, and there's tension in the team. What to do?
So one of the things we have in the DTS is, like, we have team meetings every week. One team meeting we just use more for practicals, but the other one we use for more personal, where people have the space to share how they are doing. So that is also a moment where people can share, like, hey, I'm struggling with this, or I find this hard, and then you can discuss it together. But also sometimes if bigger things come up, in the last school we had, like, with a lot of things coming up with Corona, because, well, we were just in this Corona season with lockdowns and people being in quarantine, and we needed to make all kinds of decisions on the spot, which was difficult because we have never been through that before, because it was something new, like being in quarantine and all these kind of things. So that made it challenging. And then decisions were being made. Not everyone agreed with the decisions. So there was some tension in the team. But then we invited someone from outside to come and evaluate with our team, like, hey, just to have an outsider's perspective and someone who was kind of neutral that could help us evaluate and give all of us the space to share what it did with us or how it was for us. And yeah, we really had the opportunity to talk with each other, speak things out, and from there continue together.
So it's also important that everyone feels heard, and sometimes having a neutral person coming in to have a look at things.
Yeah, I think it's very helpful, because if you are in the situation, you sometimes don't see the whole picture anymore, or like you just focus on a specific thing. But if someone from outside comes in, yeah, it just gives you a different perspective and helps you to see things in a different way.
Is that something you did from the beginning when you stepped into leadership, or something you learned over time?
I think I learned over time, because in the beginning you sometimes also think like, oh, I have to fix this myself. How can I do this? But over the years, I also saw the value of like having other people coming in, speaking in, because they just have wisdom, depending, of course, who you ask. But if it's about a certain subject, you know, like, oh, this person can really be helpful for this or that. So, yeah, I learned to invite people for these kind of things.
What are the do's for a well-functioning team?
One of the biggest things, I think, is to share your expectations. What do you expect from the team? So to just take a moment when you start off a team, what you were just asking, to just ask what are people's expectations of working in the team or having the DTS function well. Because if you don't know that someone is expecting something and you just start rolling, and then a person gets frustrated like, oh, why didn't it happen this way? But if you don't know, you cannot go into that direction per se. Maybe it happens accidentally, but it's good to share like, hey, I'm expecting to go for evangelism twice a week. Well, if your leaders don't know, they may be planning once a week. So it's good to share your expectations so the leaders know and they can think about it, or your team knows and they can think about it. And it doesn't mean that if that's your expectation, it has to happen per se. But then there's space to talk about it and explain like, hey, why are we doing this, or why aren't we doing this? And also to honor each other, I think it's very important to help function a team to honor each other in their qualities. And that can be sometimes also challenging. Like for me personally, I like meetings to be structured. But then sometimes we have people in the team who have like lots of ideas, which can then become a bit messy in a meeting if people start sharing their ideas. But it's also because we worked in a team, someone of the team shared like, hey, if you want to develop vision, or if you want to do something in a different way, new way, you need to these people with ideas. So that helps me also to give space to these people. But it's not always easy, but to just challenge yourself like, hey, how can I honor like the different qualities in the team, and how can I give space for that? Because if people use their qualities, their strengths, yeah, they can also blossom and grow, and you can grow as a team together, I believe. And also for a team to function well is vulnerability, to just share like where you are at. So in those, for example, personal team meetings, like if things are going well, you share your victories or what God did in your life. But also if things are not going well, to share like, hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you pray with me? Because if you're open and vulnerable, yeah, it also creates, I believe, more unity and brings more openness in a team.
So here it's important you share your expectations, you honor each other, and you're vulnerable about what's going on. And that's maybe also not always easy for everyone. So you also shared some things you've learned over the years. Can you maybe share some more lessons? How did you grow as a person? How did it change you as a person functioning in many different teams?
Yeah, I think if you talk about the vulnerability part, in the beginning, I would think like, oh, if I share something that's not going well, people maybe think I'm weak or I cannot do it, or they will maybe not trust me with the task anymore because I find it hard to do it, or I share something that's challenging. But over the years, I just saw like, if you are open and choose to be vulnerable, because it's not with a lot of people, I believe, automatically that all their like vulnerable stuff comes out. But if you choose to be open, I saw with myself that relationships within a team are built way stronger, and you can really see like, oh, I can rely on my team, I can trust my team, I can receive help from my team, which is a choice. You need to be open to receive help, but because of that, it helps me at least to function better in the team, to do it together.
And how do you do that as a leader? I can imagine that's more challenging, also being vulnerable about the things which are not going well compared if you're just a team member.
It's sometimes choosing, like, what can you share in a team? What's helpful for the team? But if it's really personally on a person from the team or is related to a person in the team, for example, I can also choose, for example, to go to my mentor and share like, hey, this is where I'm struggling with, or this is what I find hard, and then just receive advice or prayer or whatever is needed from my mentor, or maybe something that she says like, hey, maybe it's good to share this and this in this way in the team. So to then find other people that can give input.
Yeah. So then you worked together as a team. You did the DTS, went on outreach, and DTS is coming to a close. And also the team you worked in and invested so much in is coming to a close. How do you end working in a team well?
Well, when I did my own DTS, I had to cry so hard when I had to say goodbye to like all my fellow students and staff. So, and then we already decided we want to come back on staff. But then I said to one of the staff members, like, I'm not sure if I can do this because you every time have to say goodbye to your team. And if every time I'm like broken like this, I cannot like work in a team. But over the years, that became a bit better. But it is, challenging to every time close off a team and then have a new team coming again. I also see the beauty of it because there are new people that you can invest in. So it's also exciting. But how we do close it off, like as a team, after students left, we come together as a team to evaluate the DTS again. Like, hey, how did things go? What can we learn for next time? What can we take along? What should we leave behind? Yeah, we also do often still a fun activity together to just close it off well, like going out for dinner or do something nice together. But also a time of like still praising God for what he did, to look back on like what victories there were in the school, how people grew, but also to look back on things that were challenging and see what we can learn from it for next time. So especially like moments of evaluation, that's what we do after students left to close off with the team.
So when I listen to you, I really hear that it's important in the beginning to build a strong foundation for a team, to invest in each other, to be open, to talk about expectations, to get to know each other, and also really to have a good and open attitude. It seems like a lot of things are a choice. Mm-hmm. And also then in the end to evaluate and to really look back what went well, what did not go well, what did I learn maybe about myself, what did I learn through the team, how was I challenged, what do I need to leave behind. So it's really a round thing you gave us today, and we're already coming to a close, and it was lots of fun. Is there still maybe one advice you have for new leaders who start their journey? What would you give them on their way? What to keep in mind also maybe about who you are as a leader and how to be in a team?
Yes, for new people that are leading the team or starting in a team, I would also say just try to enjoy the different people in the team, the different qualities in the team. And if you find it hard to work with certain people, just ask other people around you like, hey, how do I deal with these kind of people? But also one of the most important things is, as a leader, you don't have to be perfect. So if you're leading a team, also be okay with sometimes making a mistake or not doing everything well at once. Because I did once a course and there they said, like, we are in a discipleship training school, but we are not only here to disciple people, but we are disciples first ourselves always. So we are here also to still grow and to be discipled and to learn new things. So also be okay with that you're not doing everything perfect, but that you can also learn and grow and be discipled yourself as well.
That's good advice. Thank you so much, Yuri, for being with us and sharing your wisdom and your experience. It's been really great and really inspiring to hear from you.
Thank you. It was nice to be here.